Yeah, all right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning and welcome. Definitely fills my heart to see the kids up here leading us in praising God and to see all the fun things that they were doing as they were learning what the Bible teaches about building their lives on Jesus. That was the theme all week. That was great. Well, I'm going to jump into the fifth VBS lesson. You see, they had four nights of regular VBS lessons, but there were five lessons. Then on Friday, they had the big party. We saw some of those pictures. And so today, we're wrapping up with the last lesson about building our life on Jesus. And so every one of you is an honorary VBS kid this morning, all right? And you haven't, some of you, I can tell, haven't been a kid for quite some time. Okay, I'm watching it, dialing it, reading the room. You're kids now, all right? So that's all I know. So I'm going to jump into this, but before I do, I have one quick announcement that didn't make the video, some house business, some family business. Next Sunday is 4th of July weekend, and usually on Memorial weekend and sometimes on 4th of July weekend, knowing people might be away, it's an opportunity for us to all come together, all three services come together, one big service that weekend. Now on Memorial weekend, we do it outside, and it's a lot of fun, but we did it outside once on 4th of July weekend and found out it was too hot, all right? So we learned our lesson, and we're going to use the building that God has provided for us. So we'll be inside, but we're just going to have the one service at 10 o'clock. Now, I almost didn't even need to say that in this service, because this is just the one you go to. So it works out for you, but just know we're going to have to put out some extra chairs. It's going to be nice and packed in here. For 4th of July weekend. 10 a.m. service next weekend, then we're back to the regular deal after that. All right, announcement's over. Let's open up our programs and get that outline out. We're going to be working through an outline today. Kids Sunday doesn't get Stony Creek Church away from filling in blanks. We're going to do it no matter what. And so as I said, this is lesson five. So all week, you've heard it from Jody, you saw it in the video. The theme for VBS in 2025 was to build your life on Jesus, hence all the building decorations and Lego decorations. Build your life on Jesus. And it's all based on what Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7. A lot of the kids memorized this verse, and it's a good one to memorize. And so kids, if you know it, you can say it with me while I read it. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, "Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder." Very good. Yeah, our kids were learning that Jesus is the firm foundation on whom we should build our lives. They learned that God gives us many tools for building our lives on Jesus, like his word. We sang about it in that first song, talking about how we were going to study his word, meet with him in his word. That's the Bible. He's given us prayer, the opportunity to communicate with God Almighty, to talk to him and with him in prayer. And he's given us the church to encourage one another and teach one another and serve one another. But the real power comes from all of these things. And beyond all of that, really, it comes from the Holy Spirit. The kids learn the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in the life of every single Jesus follower. And he enables us, he guides us, and empowers us to grow and build our relationship with Jesus and our life on him. And we get to become who God planned us to be even before we were born when we follow the Holy Spirit and build our life on Jesus. Well, this morning, to finish it all up, we're going to go even further. You see, for the first four lessons, we talked about building our life on Jesus personally. So building my relationship with God personally and how his kingdom gets built in my life. And we've talked about how we do that together in the church. But now there's the next step, and that is to go out into the world and share God's love with the world and build more Jesus followers so that his kingdom continues to build. Today's message is entitled Building Jesus' Kingdom. And it's all about sharing God's love with people who need to hear it around the world. It's based on something else Jesus said. It's called the Great Commission. There is marching orders to the church, And it began 2,000 years ago, continues until he returns, continuing today and until he returns. Jesus said this. He said, "Go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I am with you to the very end of the age." So this building project of Jesus, it begins in our life when we trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it continues as we meet with brothers and sisters in Christ in the church and build one another up. And then it goes even further when we take the message about Jesus out into the world and share it with people who haven't heard yet, people who need to know about Jesus. Jesus said, "Keep doing this until the end of the age, and he'll be with us every step of the way." But there are some things that block Jesus' building project in our lives. They block it. And there's two big ones we're going to look at today. They're there on your outline. And we're going to talk about how to blow these blocks out of the way. These are roadblocks. These aren't the good blocks building his kingdom. These are roadblocks getting in the way of building his kingdom. And we're going to talk about busting through those things. I call it busting two big building blockers. Yeah, I do like alliteration. Most pastors do. The first one there on your outline is the building blocker, not building block, blocker of "I don't know how." How do I share this message about Jesus with others? I just don't know how to do it. Well, you know, there's a very simple solution to this blocker, and you want to write it down. It's get ready. Get ready. We need to prepare ourselves to share the good news about Jesus with others. And so the way we're going to do it today, it's going to go pretty quickly. That's why we've got all these notes to write down, so you can, when it's swirling around in our heads, we can look at this outline later and reflect on these things and train ourselves with these things. We're going to look at five vital steps for getting ready to share our faith. And the first one is this: fill up. Fill up. Now, I'm not talking about breakfast. Maybe you did fill up on breakfast today, and you're ready for a nap already because of that big breakfast in your belly. No, I'm not talking about breakfast, lunch, or dinner. This fill up is talking about being filled up with the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus said this. Remember, we're listening to his words and putting them in practice. That's what we're doing all week, really all of our lives. That's what we should be doing, not just these 5 days of VBS. Jesus said this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will tell people about me." And so the kids learned at VBS a few nights ago, they learned about how the Holy Spirit comes into the life of every believer and empowers us to live for God in all kinds of ways. In fact, in every way God calls us to live, the Holy Spirit helps us, guides us, empowers us to do it. The kids might remember Miss Jody was giving an object lesson. She was trying to cut through wood with a hand tool, and it was hard. But then she got out the power saw and just ripped right through that board like it was nothing. And that was like when the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what God calls us to do. Except there is one difference to that analogy. It's a good one. But there's one difference is, with a handsaw, I could eventually get through a 2x4 with a handsaw. I might be a little tired, but I can do it. But to please God, to really please God, we need the Holy Spirit. We just can't do it on our own. And that's why we need to come under his influence. The Apostle Paul writes it like this. In Ephesians 5, he says, "Getting drunk will lead to wild living. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now that seems like a weird comparison at first. But why is Paul putting getting drunk next to talking about being filled with the Spirit? Well, he's making an important point. When a person gets drunk, they say and do things that they would never normally say or do. And they're oftentimes destructive things, things that hurt themselves, people around them. They can have lasting consequences for a long, long time. Paul says, don't do that. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Paul's saying, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, when he takes over and empowers you, you will also say and do things that you would never do. But they're going to be good things, the things of God, what he's called us to do. And so he says, don't be under the influence of alcohol or anything like that. Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
How do we do this? Well, we do this by going to God, our Heavenly Father, in prayer and asking Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. The way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you pray and you say, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to follow His lead today in my life. And then be sensitive. Watch for how the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to act and to talk. He might send somebody your way that you can help out. You say, oh, I can help this person. Or so have you start a conversation with somebody and say, oh, I can tell this person doesn't know Jesus. I should introduce them. Follow that lead into that. Trust the Holy Spirit will empower you to say what you need to say in those times. And if you start chickening out, right there in your head, pray to God again. Fill me again right now, please, with the Holy Spirit. And then do it. Jump in, all right? That's how we do it. We're told to be filled every day with the Holy Spirit, and really, I need it several times a day because I leak. It's like I have it's like if the Holy Spirit was filling my gas tank, my tank has a hole at the bottom of it, and I need to pray every day, Father, fill me again and again. And so then what do we say? We're filled with the Holy Spirit, so what do we share with somebody? Well, that's number two here. Be clear on the gospel. We do need to have the gospel clear in our head to be able to share with people. So we're going to look at that briefly here, all right? In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes it down like this, and then we'll write it in even shorter form after this. But here's what it says in Scripture. Paul writes, and you can help me out with the yellow print when we get there. He says, because you believe the good news, you are saved. Here's what it is. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said He would. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said He would be. And so the good news, or the gospel, that's what the good news is, the gospel, is this. You can write it down. Jesus is Lord. That's who Jesus is. Talk about that in a minute. And then the next sentence, He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, and arose from the dead. In simplest terms, this teaches a person, if you say something like this, that Jesus is Lord, He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin and arose from the dead, you're teaching who Jesus is and what He's done. That's what's being communicated there. First off, He's Lord. That means God, the boss, the King. Paul calls Him Christ. Christ died for our sins there. That's Messiah, the Anointed One, the King. He's the King of Heaven. But sadly, this world, we've rebelled against our King. It began with our first parents, Adam and Eve. You know the story there in Genesis, in the garden. It began with them, but it continues in us. This rebellion, the Bible calls it sin. We see it in our thoughts. When we're thinking things we ought not to, we see it in our words, we see it in our actions, the way we hurt ourselves and each other, and most of all, we're offending the God who made us. This sin offends the God who made us and rebels against Him. We're separated from God because of this, ever since, unless something is done about it. And that separation will go on forever, in eternity, called hell. But then there's the good news of what the Lord Jesus did. He died for us. You see, while we were separated from God, Jesus suffered the separation we earned when He died on the cross. When He said, my God, talking to His Heavenly Father, why have you forsaken me? He was taking that separation in our place. The way that it's read here in Romans 5 is that God has shown His great love for us. While we were still sinners, we were still in rebellion to God, shaking our fist up at heaven. God loved us so much that what did He do? It says Christ died for us. Now, Jesus more than paid the penalty for our sin when He died on the cross because, number one, He's perfect. He had no sin. And so He didn't have His own debt to pay. And then He's also God, and so He's infinite. So when He suffered that separation on the cross, boy, it's like if I had a $1,000 fine to pay, Jesus said, will this gajillion dollar bill cover it? You know, he more than paid for all of our sin, all the way from the beginning of humanity, all the way to the last person ever to be born later in the future. Jesus paid the way for everybody. So that's the good news. That's the gospel. Jesus is Lord. He died on the cross for our sin, and then he rose from the dead to prove it's all true. He beat death for everyone who trusts in him. And so number three here, there's lots of ways to share the gospel. We've taught how to do it. You could draw it on a napkin. You can go through a series of Bible passages. Lots of great ways to share the gospel. But what I want to share is one of my favorite ways, my favorite way. I don't have to say one of, it's my favorite way, to share your story. Share your story. When we share the story of what Jesus has done for us, we get to share the gospel in that, because that will include how you heard that Jesus is Lord and he died on the cross for your sins and arose from the dead. And you're also giving evidence to how Jesus has impacted your life. And so they're seeing a live, walking example in you of what Jesus can do in a person's life. Now, I printed, in order to help people share their story, I printed these testimony worksheets. We give these out to people that are looking to get baptized here. We work through this in our baptism class. You heard from the kids' announcements. There's one coming up July 13th during this service, the 10 o'clock service. If you're looking to be baptized, one of the things you'll get is this testimony sheet to work through writing your story of how Jesus saved you and what kind of impact he's had on you. But I printed them and put them out there in the lobby on our info booth. So feel free to grab one, and you can look at the things I'm going to breeze through pretty quickly in a little more detail. This is really helpful in organizing your thoughts. But basically, it comes down to this. Sharing your story in three acts is what I call it there on your outline. And basically, you're just giving three different periods of time in your life. All right? The first one, very simple, is before. Act one is before. What was your life like before Jesus? What did it revolve around? In what or who did you put your hope or your trust? What were you depending on? Maybe it was yourself. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was money or something like that. That's where you had all your hope in. If I just get enough money, I'll be good. That kind of thing. And how did that stuff start to let you down? When did you realize, I shouldn't put my hope in myself or whatever? So that's the before part. And then the next part is called during. You're sharing your story with somebody. You say, yeah, before Jesus, this is what was going on in my life. All right? And then you get into during. And this is about how you were being drawn to Jesus. How were you drawn to him? Maybe the Holy Spirit was drawing you. You might not have known it back then, but you can see it now. And you could share with somebody, yeah, I just felt like I was being drawn to God in this way. And maybe it was at a church. Oh, I was at this church service and I heard the gospel communicated clearly. And this is when you can share that gospel message that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for your sins and arose from the dead. And you also share during this time how you decided to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you say, oh, as a friend of mine was sharing the gospel with me and invited me to pray and turn my life over to Jesus, and I did it. You can share that part. And then the third part of sharing our story with somebody is what I call the after. So you got before, during, and after. Pretty logical. Pretty chronological. What is your life like now with Jesus? How has Jesus impacted your life? Okay, and so there's lots of different things. For example, you know, what looks different now in your thoughts, in your actions? How do you behave differently at work or at school? Or even in your home life? How has forgiveness in Jesus changed your thoughts toward other people? You know, one of the first things to impact me when I trusted in Christ, I started thinking about my mom and my dad, and for some reason, my Uncle John. And I was like, they don't know Jesus yet. And I want to share my relationship with Jesus now with them. I want to introduce them to Jesus. That was one of the changes Jesus made in my life. So you shared these kinds of things like, you know, yeah, I found out that all my hope was in money, but of course, I'm never going to have enough, and that stuff lets you down anyway. Then I trusted in Christ. Now I know my hope's in Jesus, so whether I have little or much, I know I've got everything I need in the Lord. That's a good testimony, if that's your testimony. You see how Jesus has changed you and impacted you and is making a difference. All right, and then number four here, so you've had the chance to share the gospel, your story with somebody. Then number four is make an invitation. You see, if you're sitting and talking with somebody about your relationship with Jesus, and you share the gospel message, and you share, and this has been true for me, he saved me, just like I'm saying he wants to save you. Don't say, well, I hope you enjoy that information, see you later.
You don't know. you want to make it, would you like to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior like I did? Do you want to do that? Make that invitation. Put it out to the person. Don't stop short of making an invitation to trust in Jesus. Now, here's the thing. The person may say, no, that's good for you, Chris, but not for me, or I need to think about it, or whatever, something like that. I want you to know that that is not a failure. We're called to share our faith. We're called to be a witness, to testify about Jesus, to share that gospel message. Then it is between it's always between the person themselves and God, whether or not they want to turn their life over to Jesus. That's not a decision you can make for somebody, except for yourself. And if a person does decide and says yes and wants to pray with you right there, you're not the one that saved that person either. It was Jesus that saved that person. And so all of the responsibility is off our shoulders for saving the person. It's all on God. Thank God that that is true. So our job is to just share the good news. Share how Jesus impacted you and then make an invitation. Would you like to trust in Jesus like I did? Then it's up to the person. Well, that's about all you need to know. So if up until now, the thing stopping you from sharing the gospel with people around you was you didn't know, now you know, all right? I've taken that excuse away from me and from you this morning. And yet you're like, but there's a fifth point under this thing. What's that? Well, I'll write it down. It's one word. Practice. Now we got to go out and do it. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is a wise builder. Knowing the answers is not enough. Jesus' half-brother James said, just reading the word of God but not doing it, well, that's deceiving yourself. It's not enough. We got to do what Jesus is telling us to do. And so get out there and do it. There's people in your life. God's planted you wherever you're planted with people around you that need him, that he loves, and he wants you to share your faith with. So practice. You can practice at home first. You can get one of those testimony sheets there and practice around the dinner table. Have everybody write their testimony and share them with each other around dinner for a week or so. That'd be, a great family building event. But then go out and practice with people who don't know the Lord, because God wants to win them. I'm encouraged by this passage. It's at the beginning of the Gospel of John, and I just want to read it to you guys to show you how people did this right away. Because when somebody says, I don't know how, I feel like some of us think we need to be an ordained minister, or we need a master's degree or a doctorate, or we need to know every theological and apologetic answer. And that is just not true, okay? We're just putting up fake blocks to doing what God wants us to do. Look at what happened in Jesus' ministry. This is two people who, as soon as they came to Christ, they wanted to go and find somebody they knew that didn't know Jesus yet and invite them to. Look at this. It starts with Andrew. Andrew was one of the two disciples who had also followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. It's the first thing. Jesus is like, come follow me. Andrew's like, yeah, I'm going to follow you. Let me get Simon. He should come too. You know, it almost looks like he lied. Oh, yeah, I'll follow you. Hold on a second. Let me get Simon. But of course, that's not true. I'm just making a joke. He told him, we have found the Messiah. Messiah means Christ. We talked about that a little. And he brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas. Cephas means Peter or rock. You know, Peter became the chief apostle. He became the one that was in charge of all of them after Jesus died and resurrected and ascended into heaven. He left Peter in charge when the church was just beginning. And Peter was invited by his brother. Isn't that awesome? So cool. It says the next day, so this is just happening day after day. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law. The prophets also wrote about him. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Bottom line here, if you know Jesus and you know people who don't know Jesus, make the introduction. Make the introduction. Then it's between them and the Lord. You know, but go make that introduction.
All right, but even if we know how to do it, we've all lost our excuse. We've been taught or at least reminded how to share the gospel, how to share our story. And yet there's still a second big blocker to us going out there and doing it. And this one might even be bigger than the first. There on your outline, the second building blocker is I'm scared. For many of us, it's not a matter of I don't know the right answer. I know I'm supposed to say Jesus is Lord. He died on the cross for our sins and arose from the dead. The truth is not that I don't know what to say. The truth is I'm scared to go out and say it. We might be scared for lots of different reasons, like I'm not going to do a good enough job. Now remember those two guys that first started following Jesus. They didn't know anything yet. They just started following Jesus. And they said, come with me and follow and learn too. You know, they weren't saying, I'm perfect and figured everything out. Now come with me. No, they're just saying, I'm excited about Jesus. Come with me. But we're scared. We're not going to do a good job. We're scared we might look foolish in this culture or in the world around us. We don't look foolish in front of God, but we're scared to look foolish in front of people. Scared we might even be rejected. What if this person doesn't want to hang out with me anymore? What if this makes it weird with me and a family member or a neighbor? And it's true, these things can happen. I'm like, that won't happen. No, these things can happen. Sometimes I've shared my faith and walked away and thought, I was so boneheaded the way I shared that. I could have done better. You know, I've done that. I've done not that great of a job, you know, from how I've done it maybe before or something. I've also had times where it got weird between me and a friend, and I'm like, I don't think they want to hang out and play video games anymore, you know, with me or whatever. No, I don't play video games anymore. I'm thinking back to when I was a teenager, just for the record. I'm not a video game guy. But there was a time until that guy quit playing with me. I've never played a video game again. No. We're scared for different reasons. And of course, it's true, we can face rejection and things like that. You know, we've got it really good here in the U.S. We're free to share whatever we like about Jesus. There's brothers and sisters in the Lord in other places in the world that face way more than we do. If they share their faith, they could face, you know, violent persecution, even death. It's crazy that that's still going on. It's going on even more than it has in history in other places in the world. We don't face that, but it's still scary. And so I know some Christians, in order to bust through this block, they do some different things, but not the thing we're going to talk about, which we'll get to in a second. But I've seen people, I've done it myself, where I'm like, okay, I know I need to overcome my fear and I need to share my faith. And so they work really, really hard on memorizing the answers, all the apologetic answers, and they psych themselves up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fight for the faith. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to clobber this person with Jesus, you know. And they're going to try to argue back and say, oh, that's silly. I'm going to just pound them down with all my facts and answers and things. You might see where this is going wrong while I'm talking about it. But we psych ourselves up. We're like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get through it. And we're doing all that without the answer I'm about to give you. And what quickly happens is we go out kind of nervous and rushed, and I just got to get through the script. Or we even become like pushy salesmen with Jesus, like we're trying to sell Jesus, you know, like somebody trying to sell, you know, new windows at my house. I'm like, no, I just got windows 5 years ago. Yeah, but our windows are, it's okay, I know your windows are great. I got windows, I'm good. Yeah, but have you seen our, I don't, just get off my porch. I don't want the windows. And we could become that with Jesus when we don't do the thing that's happening. The other thing that can happen if we don't do the answer we're about to look at, I'm really making you want that answer. The other thing that can happen if we don't do this answer is we'll try, because we know I'm supposed to share my faith. We'll try, the person will say, no, that's not for me, Chris. And I'll do that a couple of times until I get tired of rejection. And I'm like, why do I even bother? You know what? I've got this relationship with God. I love it. I've got this relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ at church, and we have a great time together. And so why bother sharing my faith? Because I'm just facing rejection anyway. And maybe we wouldn't say it out loud this way, but we get very apathetic. It means we don't care, or we don't care enough about the world around us that's lost. That's what happens if it's all just up in our head trying to memorize what we're supposed to say. What's going to really get us through being scared in a successful way, the way God wants us to do it, is this. And you want to write it down. Grow in love. Love deals with fear. Godly love deals with fear. Look at this great passage. It's by the Apostle John. He wrote it later in his ministry in this letter. He says, we know that God loves us. We depend on it. We depend on God loving us. God is love. Anyone who leads a life of love is joined to God, and God is joined to them. Love is fulfilled among us when in this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives away fear. And we love because he first loved us. Love is the answer. God's love, which is the love of the right things, it's not the love of self or the love of sin or these kinds of inferior, broken down, counterfeit loves. I'm talking about real love here, God's love. It will overcome fear. We'll still deal with fear. There's still a fear here that needs to be driven out and kick to the side, but real love will deal with fear. But we need to keep growing in this godly love. How do we do that? These are the last two things to fill in on the outline this morning. Number one, building your relationship with Jesus. When you trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you enter into that relationship. You've got it. You've got a relationship with Jesus from now through eternity, which is never ending. But we need to build. We need to grow in that relationship. I have a relationship with my wife, thankfully. But if we just said, I do, and got married, and then never talked to each other again, that is not a growing, building relationship. We need to grow in that relationship. The closer we truly draw to Jesus in his word, that's where we listen to him and hear from him. In prayer, where we get to talk and express everything that's going on and also listen to him, be impacted from that time together. The more we grow in relationship with him, the more we become like him. Remember, it said love is fulfilled when we're like Christ in this world. Well, we're becoming more like him as we grow in our love relationship with him. And as we become more like him, we desire more to follow him. And so when he says, go out and be my witnesses, it's not just marching orders, it's not just directions, it's Jesus' heartbeat, and it's something we want to catch. It's something we want to do to please God because we just love this relationship with Jesus so much. We want to be like him. We want to do the things he wants us to do. And it motivates us. And then while we're having this time growing in our love relationship with God and becoming more like Jesus, one of the things we should pray for, it's the second thing on your outline, last thing to write in, is ask God to break your heart. Ask God to break your heart. And I know that sounds weird. You might even think, but I thought following Jesus was all about joy and peace and love, and you want me to have a broken heart? That sounds weird. I'm not trying to shame anybody here, but the truth is that we don't love people enough. We don't love people enough. We need to pray and ask God to break our heart for lost people, for people that don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, so that we genuinely love them too, more than we love being comfortable. I might say, well, I love that person, but I really don't want to look like a fool. Oh, I love that person, but I really don't want to face rejection. I love my comfort more. I love not being embarrassed more than I love that person, and so I'm going to let fear win and not share, not open my mouth. God gives us so much good and joy and peace. If we follow him, he gives us that right now in this life. So even if we do face rejection, hard times, things like this, we can have peace through that. We can have a love relationship with God that'll get us through that. But we should also carry with us a very deep burden, a sadness for lost people. God is love, but his heart is also broken for people who don't have a relationship with him, who are lost without him for all eternity. And so a Christian, we should always be walking around holding on to God's love and joy, but we should also be holding a broken heart, a real sadness all the time. You think, that bums me out. Yeah, it is. It is. It is sad. But that's perfect love is when we're like Jesus in this world. Jesus walked this world with so much love in his heart for all the people around him. And he walked around with a broken heart because people were far from God, to the point where he died on the cross. He gave up his life to save us. We need to carry around that joy. And don't worry, you will never, as long as you're holding on to your love relationship with the Lord, you'll never fall into complete despair with that sadness, because you're always holding on to God's love and his joy and his peace. It'll keep filling you up, everything you need. But don't neglect really caring about the lost people around you in your life. We need to pray to care about that more than we do, for God to fill us with his Holy Spirit and give us a broken heart for lost people, so that we will do what Jesus said. He said, if you hear my words and put them into practice, you're a wise builder. And Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I am with you to the very end. We're going to have our kids come up in just a minute to lead us in a closing song. But before we do, I'd like to close in prayer this time of the message and pray for our offering. So will you stand with me? And we're going to pray, and then the kids will come up. After we praise God one more time with the kids leading us, our pastoral prayer team will be down here after the service. This is our regular pastoral prayer team. It's great to have to pray with kids, but we didn't put our kids on the pastoral prayer team this week. Oh, I love hearing my kids pray. I love it hearing any kid pray, but no, these are the professionals, all right? They got the lanyards and everything. If you're here, we talked about sharing the gospel, but if you need to trust in Jesus today, you say, well, I need to do that before I even start sharing it with somebody else, would you come down and meet, talk, pray with one of our pastoral prayer team? If you have some other need you need prayer for, they'd love to pray for that as well. Let's go into prayer now together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, who died for us on the cross to reconcile us with you. I pray every person in this room, if they haven't already, would turn away from themselves and over to Jesus now before they leave here today. And God, we pray that your kingdom would indeed be built in our lives, in this church, and out in our community and beyond. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit to go out and share the good news with people who need you so much. And Lord, we dedicate our offering to you. Pray that you would bless it and use it to be a part of your advancing kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kids, come on up and lead us in praising God one more time.